The words of our scripture reading this morning were those of Daniel as he prayed regarding the condition of Judah and its captivity in Babylon. And I'd like to read the further context. We turn here to verses 6 onwards, where he is praying and he says, "Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as at this day. To the men of Judah, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and unto all Israel that are near and that are afar off, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them because of their trespass, that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against thee. Neither have we obeyed the voice of our Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he has set before us by his servants, the prophets." Here is the plaintive cry of a man who had been richly honored by God. And he expresses, inclusive of the confusion of faces that belong to those people. Judah were the professed people of God. And indeed, God still cared for them. But why did they find themselves in Babylon? What was it he was saying? Because they had not listened to the prophets and the messages that were conveyed to them. They find themselves in Babylon, their city and a house of God, in ruins. Let's read once more the words of Jeremiah, where he expressed the reason for their demise, and yet the Lord was still merciful. Jeremiah 25. Verse 4. "And the Lord hath sent unto you all his servants the prophets, rising early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened nor inclined your ear to hear." Verse 8. "Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, because you have not heard my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north." And the description of the captivity was to follow. Why? "Because you have not heard my words." In Jeremiah 29, verse 19, once more, verse 19 of 29, because they have not hearkened to my words, saith the Lord, which I sent them by my servants, the prophets, rising up early and sending them, but ye would not hear, saith the Lord. Why were they in Babylonian captivity? Because God sent them message after message after message, and with all that they have heard, they were not doing it. And that was regarded as not hearing, even though they heard it. If we do not want confusion of faces, as Daniel said was the problem, confusion of faces, if we don't want that, then it says in Proverbs 3, verse 21 to 26, a simple answer to avoid confusion. It says in verse 21 to 26, Proverbs 3, verse 21 to 26, my son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. And when thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Do you ever lie down and you are so bewildered by your thoughts that you can't sleep? So confused with what's going on? That will not be the case. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. Fear the Lord, for the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Do you like being in a state of mental confusion? I don't. Do you have seasons of that confusion? And do you avoid the seasons of confusion by putting it out of sight because it upsets you so much? This morning, we want to appreciate where we stand and what is possible for us, as it says here, that we will not be in a state of confusion and stumble because of it. Today, Christianity is in exactly the same position as was Judah. Where are they situated? Christianity is situated as Judah in the time of Daniel in Babylon. To them belongs confusion of faces. The book of Daniel, if you come there to chapter 12, is a book which is written specifically for us. Not just the prophecies. The entire book of Daniel is written of here in Daniel chapter 12, verse 4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. This is our case. And the book of Daniel was closed. The book of Daniel was closed. Although it could be read, but the understanding of it was closed until the time of the end. Coming to verse 9. He said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. And there in verse 13, but go thy way till the end, before thou shalt till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of days. Daniel himself, in his representation of what he has experienced in this book, is going to stand in his lot at the end of days. So what I read for our scripture reading applies, while it applies to back there, it is written and applies to us. Because Christianity today is in exactly the same position in reference to Babylon. We read that Revelation 18, which is the very angel's message for our very moment ever since 1888. Revelation 18, verses 1 through to 4. And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Who have? All nations. Just as in the days of Daniel. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. Who? My people. Daniel was God's son, and his friends were God's people. And he was where? In Babylon, a captive. And for us today, these realities are written to wake up to. God's people are in Babylon. They are to come out of Babylon, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. How did Christianity get there? How did God's people end up in Babylon? If you will carefully study the seven churches, you will have your answer. God's people, the Christian company, is being spoken to in the the seven churches of Revelation chapter 2 and 3. In fact, the whole book of Revelation is written for them. And if you notice Revelation chapter 2, we will see that though that early Christian church finally found itself in Babylon, Revelation chapter 2, verse 20. Notwithstanding, this is the church of Thyatira. Here is the position now. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, my people, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which hath called herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants, to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he that searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. The period of Thyatira is the period of the Dark Ages, the 1260 years. And Christianity found itself in Babylon. And it had taken place through the first four churches. Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, and now Thyatira. The decline had taken place. And amongst the decline of the church, there was a faithful people like Daniel that found itself in the murk of Babylon. And God, in his love and mercy, keeps on talking to her. What does this Jezebel that was in Thyatira interacting even with God's faithful people? What does she, Jezebel, Babylon, do ever since that time? What did we read there in Revelation 18, verse 3? What does she do? What has she done for to arrive at our time now? It says, for all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. All nations have drunk of the wine of her fornication. She fornicated, and you can read much how my faithful city become a harlot. Why? The same message as Isaiah wrote for the people back there is the history of God's church that has become a harlot, and only a faithful few are left. What have they been drinking to make them become confused, drunk? Let's read it there. Isaiah 29, verse 9. And verse 13. The detail of it is in between those two texts in terms of what they did with God's word. they would not take it to read it and practice it. There in Isaiah 29, verse 9, stay yourselves. Hold on, you're getting wonky. Stay yourselves and wonder. Cry ye out and cry. They are drunken, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. So what are they staggering about? Verse 13. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. The Bible is too hard to understand. And so men interpret the Bible, translated in all different translations of today, because the old King James Version is so hard to be understood. That's what's written there in between those two texts. We can't read it, can't explain it. And those who know something say, oh, it's a closed book, don't worry. And so what is being taught in one respect or another is the teachings and the precepts of men. They teach for commandments, the commandments of man. That was the words of Jesus, wasn't it? So indeed, drunkenness exists. What means? What is drunkenness? When a person is drunk, what is he? Confused. He can't see things straight anymore. His brain is befogged, and everything is wishy-washy. In these last days, we all have come from churches of this nature. How do I know? Because the Word of God tells us in Matthew chapter 24, the words of Jesus. Matthew chapter 24. There Jesus is saying, in the last days, be careful. You're going to be in danger. Watch. And he talks about the faithful and wise servant in verse 45, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season. Blessed is the servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with whom? The drunken. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of. And that's why Jesus said, watch therefore, for you know not what hour the Lord doth come. There is a servant, an evil servant, that says in his heart, not outwardly, not publicly, they are Adventists, but in their heart, what are they doing? In their heart they say, my Lord delayeth his coming. Therefore, what do? Instead of diligently following every word of God and pursuing the understand it, they are eating and drinking with the drunken Babylon. They are in Babylon. And if you think about it, there was Daniel and his three friends. There was Ezekiel And these men of God, few in number, were the only ones that appeared in the vision of the book of Daniel. When those multitudes bowed down to the image, were there God's nation among them? They were all there, a large number of them. But who stood up and would not bow? The reason why Daniel wasn't there, he was in another place at the time. But the great multitude around that image had many, many, many captive Jews amongst them. And they all went down before the image. And only three men stood up. This is revealed for our time. They are eating and drinking with the drunken. And so it is, as you pursue it through those seven churches. The Dark Ages concluded in 1798. And during the Dark Ages, the faithful reformers who were in Babylon and who were themselves affected by Babylonish input were trying to come out of it. They were the Protestants, Martin Luther and all such. And they come to 1798, and in Revelation chapter 3, verse 1, Sardis, what is written there about that company of Protestants? Are they still confused? Here it is. Verse 1. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. But he still gives them a bit of hope. He says in verse 2, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Are the Protestant churches in this representation in 1798 to 1833 in a state of Babylonish confusion? Are they? You say you are alive, but you're dead. How confused can you be? I'm not drunk. I'm alive. I'm on fire for the Lord. Isn't that what a drunk person says? I'm not drunk. I've got all my faculties with me. And they're speaking with a heavy tongue. That's exactly how a drunk person speaks. You say you are alive, but you're dead. Sorry. That's the one who knows. And then comes Philadelphia, 1833 to 1844. And what does he say to them? He says, I know thy works, verse 8. Chapter 3, verse 8. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Here is a little company that are in Babylonish confusion. Remember, they made a mistake in the date of 1844. They were themselves under the influence of Babylonish belief that the sanctuary was the earth, the planet. They were confused. And because of their confusion, why they wanted to obey exactly what God said, they had a little strength. A person who's coming out of drunkenness is very hangover. They've got a hangover. They're very weak. You have a little strength, but you have endeavored to keep my word. I honor you. and he has nothing to say against them. Only 10 years was the period of Philadelphia as they came out of Babylonish Sardis. And then comes chapter 3, verse 15 to 17, Laodicea. And what is written here in verse 15 to 17? I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Now notice verse 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not, that you're drunk. You don't know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. The drunk says, I'm all right. I wish you were totally drunk or not drunk at all. But you're in a state of such deception that you don't know that you are really inebriated. Neither sober nor totally drunk. You've been drinking the wine of Babylon, eating and drinking with the drunken. Drunk enough to be oblivious of your true condition. And how did this come about after Philadelphia? Just the same as with Judah. The early Christian Sardis reformers. The same scenario. The early Christians fell into Pergamos and Thyatira. Sardis, the reformers, fell into Babylon. And we read it distinctly under the words of inspiration in Great Controversy, page 384. There I read from paragraph 5. 384. In paragraph 5. What was the origin of the great apostasy, of this drunkenness? What was it? How did the church first depart from the simplicity of the gospel? By conforming to the practices and paganism to facilitate the acceptance of Christianity by the heathen, mingling pure truth with falsehood. What is the pure grape juice when it is fermented? Becomes wine, doesn't it? It's contaminated. Christianity became contaminated. How? The Apostle Paul declared, even in his day, the mystery of iniquity doth already work. During the lives of the apostles, the church remained comparatively pure. But toward the latter end of the second century, most of the churches assumed a new form. The first simplicity disappeared. And insensibly, as the old disciples retired to their graves, their children, along with the new converts, came forward and new modeled the cause. To secure converts, the exalted standard of the Christian faith was lowered, and as the result, a pagan flood flowing into the church carried with it its customs, practices, and idols. As the Christian religion secured the favor and support of secular rulers, it was nominally accepted by the multitudes. But while in appearance as Christians, many remained in substance pagans, especially worshipping in secret their idols. Have you heard of substance abuse? In substance, they were abusing the substance. They were mingling substance of paganism with God's pure substance of truth. Has not the same process, I continue, has not the same process been repeated in nearly every church calling itself Protestant? As the founders of those who possess the true spirit of reform pass away, their descendants come forward and new model the cause. While blindly clinging to the creed of their fathers and refusing to accept any truth in advance of what they saw, the children of the reformers depart widely from their example of humility, self-denial, and renunciation of the world. Thus, the first simplicity disappears. A worldly flood flowing into the church carries with it its customs, practices, and idols. Inebriated. Is this true for Seventh-day Adventism today? Have the early Adventists still... I should rephrase that. Has the early Adventist faith still faithfully portrayed today by the Adventist organizations, by the Reform organizations? Is it all there? Or have they all been substance abused? I go on reading here when it says, alas, to what a fearful extent is that friendship of the world, which is enmity with God, now cherished among the professed followers of Christ. How widely have the popular churches throughout Christendom departed from the Bible standard of humility, self-denial, simplicity, and godliness. Then you can read on how true that statement is. So, all those who claim to be the people of God, the teachers of the truth, the servants of God, organizations under the Adventist message of today, whether they be the Adventist Church, the Reformation organizations, or the different individual companies, all claiming we've got the right thing here. What have you and I grown up in? Confusion of faces? What happened in Babylon? What happened in Babel? He confused their languages. So it is in Babylon. And God's people are in Babylon today. The Adventist ranks. They don't want to know this. Do you want to know it? We are the people of God. There's total hiccups among the people of God today because they are affected by the confusion of the wine of Babylon. Are you and I prepared to say, I am confused? Are you prepared to say it? Revelation chapter 3, verse 17. What did he say? The one who is the true witness? You say you are enriched with goods and have need of nothing, but you know not that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. A mind that is affected by substance abuse must yield its perception to the counsel of a mind that is clear. This is the way it is with people who are on drugs. They cannot rightly perceive. They think they can. They've got such a sharp sensitivity, such discernment, and they're going, duh, I can't see straight, but I can. It's a dreadful condition. And that's in regards to physical substance abuse. However, we're talking about spiritual wine. The doctrines and the practices of paganism that are taken as perfectly normal in today's Christian society. A mind that is affected by substance abuse must yield its perception to the counsel of a mind that is clear. What mind is clear today? Revelation 3, verse 14. Our Lord and Savior. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know what you are like. My mind is clear, he says. I'm a faithful and true witness of the people who are God's people in Babylon. And he knows that the angel of the church of Laodicea is drunken, and they know it not. And the people who have grown up under this kind of ministry are drunken and they know it not, but they stumble. And they keep on appreciating the fact that there's all this garbage around me and I'm looking at the nonsense of other people around me and I'm going, I've got discernment. They're wrong and I'm right. Have you ever done it? Sorry. The others are looking at you and saying, I'm right and he's wrong. And everybody's going, we're all right, but we're all wrong. And it's a dreadful condition. And I see it around me and I see it in myself. And I have to acknowledge that, yes, Jesus, I know not that I'm wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Things are not as they seem. Men are as trees walking. And having grown up, we think that the trees walking are men. We've grown up under what we esteem as normal, and it's absolute trash. All our perceptions are absolute trash. And I never forget the one who is amongst us today who came to me under brain effect of drugs and said to me, "My brain is total mush and I need to start all over again." And I praise the Lord. But it's so easy to come away from the mush that I perceive, but it's harder to come away from the mush that I don't perceive. So, it is powerfully expressed in the book Evangelism to help us understand our total state of confusion. In Evangelism, page 593. There in paragraph 1 I read, and it's in the middle of the paragraph. This will surely be seen, this confusion that we've just been studying about, will surely be seen among the people of God. Among whom? Among the people of God. And there will be those who are unable to perceive the most wonderful and important truths for this time, truths which are essential for their own safety and salvation, while matters that are in comparison as the merest atom, matters in which there is scarcely a grain of truth, are dwelt upon and are magnified by the power of Satan, so that they appear of the utmost importance. Can you see the state of confusion? Things that have so little to do with my eternal salvation, I make a great mountain out of it. It said, the moral sight of these men is diseased. They do not feel their need of the heavenly anointing that they may discern spiritual things. This is paragraph 2. They think themselves too wise to err. Men who have not a daily experience in the things of God will not move wisely in dealing with sacred responsibilities. They will mistake light for error. And specious error they will pronounce light. Mistaken phantoms for realities, and realities for phantoms, calling the world an atom and an atom a world. They will fall into deceptions and delusions that Satan has prepared as concealed nets to entangle the feet of those who think they can walk in their human wisdom without special grace of Christ. Jesus wants man to see not men as trees walking, but all things clearly. There is only one remedy for the sinful soul, and unless it is received, men will accept one delusion after another until their senses are perverted. I thank God for the clarity of the spirit of prophecy. And I continue to show you an example which I'm going to do now just in the passing. But next time I share God's word from this pulpit, I will go into the detail of clarifying this dilemma. In Testimony, Volume 1, page 462, remember the term, trees as men walking, or men as trees walking. On page 462 of Testimony, Volume 1, it says, there in paragraph 3, since the article on dress appeared in the book How to Live, there has been with some a misunderstanding of the idea I wished to convey. Now follow this very carefully. Sister White wrote something and the inebriated mind didn't pick up what she was actually saying. She goes on to say, They have taken the extreme meaning of that which I had written in regard to the length of the dress and have evidently had a very hard time over the matter. With their distorted views of the matter, they have discussed the question of shortening the dress until their spiritual vision has become so confused that they can only see men as trees walking. They have thought they could see a contradiction in my article on dress, recently published in How to Live, and that article on the same subject contained in the Testimony for the Church, number 10. I must contend that I am the best judge of the things which have been presented before me in vision. And none need fear that I shall by my life contradict my own testimony or that I shall fail to notice any real contradiction in the views given me. This is a very important lead into understanding the subject of my next message. What does it say? A thus saith the Lord, on dress. And the people were reading it and confused the issue because the brain is under spiritual wine. They take for commandments the doctrines of men. And this is our dilemma. This is the case in health reform. This is the case in our spiritual interactivities with one another. Everything is detailed and our minds pick it up under the influence. How do you get rid of such a condition? If we have to admit that God is right and I am wrong, what is the first step in Alcoholics Anonymous? Do you know? Admit that you're an alcoholic. Is that right? To admit that I'm an alcoholic. That's the first step in Alcoholics Anonymous. Admit what Daniel said in Daniel 9, 6 to 9. Oh Lord, to us belongs confusion of faces, but to you mercy and truth and righteousness. I'm an alcoholic. I do not know it, but I am. And notice the way that the Spirit of Prophecy puts this. I'm reading here from Manuscript Releases, Book 20. And there on page 194, in paragraph 1, it says, she's writing to this writer, who, notice, is inebriated. I have read your articles in The Educator and am surprised at that which they present. Your minds do not see all things clearly. You see men as trees walking. You grasp and advocate some truth, while in the same article you present that which opposes your own statements. How drunk can you be? You take some truth and then you write something that confuses the issue. You see men as trees walking. Would it not be best for you to get out of the fog of your previous education? Here it is. How do you get out of this? Get out of the fog of your previous education. Under teachers themselves befogged. This education has not been true and unmingled with error. If I write for the educator, as I have been and am now doing, my articles would be directly opposed to your human philosophy. Can you not see what the people have done with E.G. White's writings? They have taken her writings and combined them with their own ideas, and it's exactly what Sister White says here. Get out from that education system. Shall there be a yea and a nay? Go forth in the educator? Or shall I be obliged to issue a paper on true education that will not have in it one thread that will dishonor our Heavenly Father? This is why I want you never to write a book again, isn't it? Because we have to get out from underneath the education that is in Babylon. And God's people in Babylon must take the spirit of prophecy and read it aright. Do not rely upon your senses and perceptions. That's what is the answer to our problem. I'm drunk. I cannot rely upon my senses and my perceptions. If I admit that I'm drunk, then I've got hope. I will not rely upon my senses and perceptions. I will open my heart to the one who is clear in his mind. It is the true witness. And I just want to read the words of the one who is clear in his mind, who speaks to us in Jeremiah 24. Jeremiah 24. Verses 5 through to 7. Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, like these good figs, so will I acknowledge them that are carried away captive of Judah, whom I have sent out of this place into the land of the Chaldeans for their good. For I will set mine eyes upon them for good, and I will bring them again to this land, and I will build them and not pull them down, and I will plant them and not pluck them up, and I will give them an heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart. When you're in Babylonian captivity, you feel that there's something wrong. We're not home. And don't people feel it? I want to go home. I want to find my security. And people are not aware what their security is. But here it is. The Lord is saying, even though I see you in that condition, I want to bring you out of that condition. Come out of Babylon, my people. And how? He said he will. Let's come to Isaiah, the prophet of the same period. Isaiah 44. Reading there verses 21 and 22. Here are the words of the one who knows our condition, which we are unconscious of. It says, in verse 21 of Isaiah 44. Remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for thou art my servant. I have formed thee. Thou art my servant, O Israel. Thou shalt not be forgotten of me. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. Return to the mind of him who knows our condition. To return to him means to give heed to a thus saith the Lord. But now, as we return to him, and we are called upon to submit to a thus saith the Lord, beware, even that our drunken senses will blur. I know this to be true. And I haven't got time now to go into that detail. We will see it when I share it in our next message. It will be ours to examine this situation when we look at a thus saith the Lord and the apparent contradictions. There appears contradictions to a besotted mind, but there are no contradictions to a thus saith the Lord. But you will read a thus saith the Lord here, and thus saith the Lord there, and you will see a contradiction, because the mind is confused. Jesus declares to those who rely on him totally, Lord, please, I need your clear mind. What does he say to them who are prepared to admit that they are alcoholic spiritually? Who are prepared to say, I cannot rely upon my own senses. What does Jesus say to them in John chapter 8, verse 12? John chapter 8, reading there, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. They will not see trees as men walking, or men as trees walking. He is the true witness for me to open my heart to him in total contrition and in total acknowledgement of my condition. Jesus will help me and you to see straight. May God do this for us as we continue to heed the call, come out of Babylon, my people. Amen.